apologize for the delay and want to welcome you all to the June 24th, 2020 regular meeting of the Alliance Regional Water Authority Board of Directors. Graham, if you will do the roll call, please.
Well, Mayor Houston.
Here.
Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Mr. Lillibridge will be absent and won't be able to join us today. Mr. Neffendorf.
Here.
Councilmember Rocky Moore, I have not heard
from. Ramos.
Is now joining.
Just in time for roll call, Berto Ramos.
Here.
Great. Mr. Earp.
I'm here.
Great. Mr. Taggart.
Here.
Mr. Betts.
Here.
Councilmember Scheel.
Here.
Mr. Clack.
Here.
Right, and I have not heard from Mr. Allen either. But we do have quorum.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Moving on to item C, public comment period. Graham, did you have anybody submit anything?
Nobody has signed up.
All right. If there's none, then we'll move on to item D, the consent agenda. And looking at item D1, consider approval of minutes of the regular board meeting held May 27, 2020. And item D2, consider approval of the financial report for May 2020.
Mike Taylor, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Tom Taggart, I'll second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
No discussion, but Chris, if you don't mind, I don't think that we need to do a roll call vote unless you hear a nay vote. I mean, that'd be my opinion. Okay. So that way it kind of moves things along a little quicker.
That'd be great.
Does anybody else have an opposing opinion to that?
This is Jane. That's what we're doing in several organizations, is if you want to vote no, jump up and say so. Otherwise, we'll presume an aye.
That sounds wonderful. That'll speed it along. Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Hearing none, are there any abstentions? None also. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to item E, public hearing and presentations. I don't believe we have any.
We do not.
And, okay, moving on to item F, items for discussion not requiring action. As we have done over the past few meetings, I think the general idea is to continue on without any discussion on these unless a member would like to pull one or all these items out to discuss them. All right, sounds like none. So we'll move on to item G, Executive Director and Legal Counsel Reports.
Well, I've got just really one update from the executive director position, and that's that I'm happy to inform you that we've hired another employee, so it makes three of us now. Jeff Murchison started on June 15th as our new water operator. So he's been busy out at the booster pump station getting acquainted with all the new equipment out there. He's been also involved with some of the construction on the pipelines for the Phase 1A Segment B project and really just starting to learn our system as a whole. So he's reporting to Jason, and it's only been a week and a half, but so far everything has started very well. So we're happy to welcome Jeff. I look forward to introducing Jeff to y'all the next time we're in person. That's the only update I have under this item.
Yeah, Mike Gershon here. No update other than to point out that the board should have received an email from me yesterday afternoon that essentially it presents an opportunity for us to consider an open session or to go into executive session under item J involving one of our purchase agreements. So now's not the appropriate time to address it. I just wanted to flag that for y'all when we get to that. Hopefully everyone has received that email from me yesterday. I think, Graham, I probably sent it at about 5:30.
I believe that's
right. It's Mike Taylor. I got it.
Great.
5:36. Jane's got it.
Yeah. I guess if anyone has not received it, speak up and we'll get that out to you before the item hits. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Mike. And Jeff, congratulations. Welcome aboard and glad to have you here. Thank you. Moving on to Section H, items for action or discussion direction. Item H1, consider adoption of Resolution 2020062401, approving work order number 5 with Blanton and Associates Incorporated for additional hazardous material testing associated with the Phase 1B Segment E project as recommended by the Technical Committee.
Good afternoon. This is Ryan. Everyone hear me?
Yep.
I can. Thank you, Ryan.
Great. Sure. So work order number 5 with Blanton, you'll recall over the last handful of months, we've had for each of the pipeline segments, we've had locations where Blanton and Associates, the Phase 1B program environmental consultant, has identified during their initial Phase 1 analysis some locations on certain parcels where we're looking to install the proposed pipeline, some locations where there's been recognized environmental conditions, potential hazardous conditions that needed further exploration to ensure that there's no significant concerns before we get ahead of ourselves with of course the easement and the pipeline itself. So in this particular case, we've done this for a few of the prior pipeline segments. This one is for pipeline segment E, and there are 6 locations that they'll be proposing to study out in the field. And what this consists of, as I've mentioned before, it's them going back out, performing some soil sampling, and if groundwater is present, then they'll pull a groundwater sample as well and just run those through the laboratories to make sure that, you know, whatever it is that they're seeing that's present at or adjacent to the site, that they're not detecting any of it in the soil or in the groundwater itself to where it could pose a concern for construction and future maintenance. In addition to that, they do have several locations or a couple of locations where they need to run several tests for asbestos containing materials just to make sure that if there is in fact asbestos located at a given location, maybe I guess in all cases from a existing structure or just some debris that's laying around, just want to confirm the presence of that so it can be planned for appropriately. So this is a time and materials contract as with the prior ones as well. The total not to exceed fee is $177,750. And we've been doing these as time and materials contracts. And from what we've seen so far on Segment A's work order, which was work order number 2, they completed everything, did all the field work, did the laboratory work, submitted a final report. And we were able to, they utilized all but about $37,000 of that work order. So want to continue that time and materials process so that they're only using what's actually expended for the mobilizations and testing effort. With that, I'll take any questions.
Before we move forward, I'd like to point out, I believe we've been joined by Councilmember Rocky Moore and Pat Allen.
Thank you. And thank you, Ryan.
Mr. Chair,
yeah, it is,
It's yes, sir. Mike Taylor. I moved to approve the resolution as presented.
Second. This is Tracy Shipp.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? All right, hearing no abstentions and no noes, the ayes have it, unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to item H2, update, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1B program cost estimates and schedules.
Ryan, yes. I'm going to let you jump in here as I pull up your presentation.
Sure. So as we do every quarter, now that we're about midway through 2020, our second quarterly update related to budget and schedule. So we'll, looks like Graham's got the slides up, so we'll go ahead and start with schedule update. So what you're looking at here, this was the update that was provided back in the first quarter in March. And, you know, as shown there, as we were wrapping up the alignment confirmation process on a few of the pipeline segments, continuing to see slippage in schedule for a few of those back in March. And really the last few months have been really, that's been one of the key focuses from a schedule standpoint, is getting the alignment confirmation process completed so that the design consultants are moved on to final design and you know, not worrying about continued rights of entry and those kinds of things. So looking ahead to the next slide, to the current update, since that last update, we've really only seen one change in terms of overall schedule and in terms of overall projected completion relative to the substantial completion target of mid-2023. Segment E, as they were wrapping up their alignment confirmation process and their engineering feasibility report, they did on schedule lose roughly about a month. Looking ahead, though, they are starting on final design right now. So one of the first things we're talking to them about right now is where can we possibly expedite the design schedule a little bit to try to make up some ground and hopefully get that month back, if not even a little bit more. So aside from that, though, as you can see, there's really not much change otherwise to the overall schedules. So good to see things stabilize more or less for the moment. So as I said, Segment E, we saw 1 month lag, but we'll be continuing to coordinate with
them. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. We're sorry. The number you have dialed has calling restrictions that have prevented the completion of your call. Announcement 19. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you have calling restrictions that have prevented the completion of your call. Announcement.
H2.
Okay.
Well, I got to admit that's a first.
So, jumping back on track, one other thing to touch on with regards to overall schedule, you know, as we've stabilized in design for the moment, with particularly with the pipelines getting into the final design phase. Land acquisition certainly is one of the bigger concerns, as it has been, but particularly with the current COVID-19 situation, we're just now here over the last few weeks for those parcels that will need to go through the condemnation process and to commissioners' hearings. The courthouses, you know, of course, have been basically putting everything on hold for the last couple of months plus, and now Alliance's special counsel is reaching out to those courthouses, scheduling attempting to schedule the special commissioner's hearings. And so nothing to report on that just yet. Expect within the next 1 to 2 weeks, we should hear back on when some of those initial commissioner's hearings are getting scheduled. So hopefully we won't see any dramatic change versus what we budgeted for in the program, which is something on the order of 2.5 to 3 months. So, but obviously if it does look like we are seeing an impact, we'll certainly keep y'all informed sooner in the process. And then as far as next steps are concerned, we've talked previously about the commissioning of all this infrastructure and how that will affect the overall schedule. We're currently looking at that in more detail. We're also looking at, you know, we've talked previously about the packaging of all this infrastructure and the sequence in which all of it goes out for proposals or bids. So more to come on that in the next couple of months and be ready to give a little more insight to how we see that playing out relative to schedule. So I'll pause for a moment for any schedule questions before we move on to budget. Okay. Moving on to budget, start by saying we're going to do an update this month, but also come back next month in July with a more comprehensive budget update for the overall program budget. What we're going to touch on today is going to be based more around just as the designs have been progressing forward. You know, the baseline budget was set now 18 months ago, roughly. So as the design consultants have been progressing forward, updating their designs, progressing their designs, and updating their cost projections, wanted to come back first of all and show you what some of those projected construction costs look like at this point. We've gone through, of course, that cost reduction measures process that we went through late last year. For the facilities in particular, the design consultants have been focused on value engineering efforts. Where can we cut costs and still get the alliance, the infrastructure it needs to operate everything successfully. So what I'm going to cover here in the next couple of slides is just a snapshot of a few of the projects as they've progressed through anywhere from 30 to 60% design. And like I said, I'll come back next month with a more comprehensive full program comparison from the base budgets all the way to where we're at currently. So the table you see here, I'll quickly go through the columns, the base budget being what was projected budget-wise for, once again, this is only projected construction cost. So the base budget being what was initially anticipated and projected, the current projection obviously being what the design consultants have developed to date. The notes column over to the right, giving you an idea of where they're at in the design process, whether it's the 30% or also known as the EFR phase or 60% in this case, or even in the case of the well field, actually all the way through design and about to start construction. So, and then the two colorful columns in between identifying what is the increase or decrease in that projected cost as it stands right now relative to the original. So going through these in a little bit of detail, the water treatment plant obviously is the biggest of the bunch here, most significant. The design consultant has been, you know, as it shows here, has submitted their 60% submittal. We recently finished the review of that, but this is the projected cost that came in with that 60% submittal. A few of the key changes that we've seen in the infrastructure as they've developed the design versus what was looked at conceptually back during the preliminary engineering report phase that the program developed. A couple things. The raw water facilities where the well field water comes into the treatment plant There's one more tank to be installed there than was originally anticipated. There's the associated appurtenances, you know, basically a more elaborate raw water setup at the front end of the tank than was originally planned for. With regards to site civil, that's maybe another key area, just the roadway work, the grading, and the other site civil work associated with the plant site, but also the neighboring entrance road, Wolf Run Road. We're seeing a pretty significant delta in terms of the projected cost now versus what we at least originally anticipated. So those are a couple of areas, but obviously there's more than that, that where we're seeing projected cost increases. In review of the 60% design, of course, the program reviewing it, as well as Alliance and the construction management group, Cape Dawson, a lot of comments went back to the design consultant related to projected cost and to potential cost saving ideas. So certainly that's at the forefront for us, is to continue to work with the design consultant to try to get that number back down as much as we reasonably can, make sure that we're only putting in what's going to be needed for phase 1B, but also making sure that future expansions are accounted for responsibly. So plenty more work to be done there, and plenty more coordination between us and the design consultant to try to bring that number down. The delivery points, the second item there, obviously a much smaller projected number relative to the treatment plant, but we've seen that one come up quite a bit. And for the moment, that appears to be based primarily on just a couple of the delivery points expanding in terms of the connection requirements and infrastructure required than was originally anticipated. We're also seeing already where, you know, there's maybe some opportunities for that to come back down, and that's being coordinated right now. So, but that's where it stands as of the end of 30%. Pipeline segment A came down a bit versus the 30% effort, and probably the biggest thing there was the program cost reduction measures. This was one where the peaking factor went down through this pipeline, so therefore the pipeline dropped in size by a diameter. And so as a result, what you see here is a good drop in terms of projected cost at this point to reflect that. On the flip side, segment E2, this is the portion of pipeline that runs from the NBU delivery point down to the Lake Dunlap treatment facility. And that delivery point, the crossing under the lake, the design consultant has projected a significantly higher number for that tunneling effort versus what was projected by the program now about 18 months ago. They're continuing to look at multiple different tunneling options, so we'll see how that number trends from here, but that's where it stands right now, but seeing what options we have to hopefully get that down versus where it is currently. Wellfield, of course, just went out for proposals. The number dropped based on the actual submitted bid, and probably as an aside, just mentioned the pre-construction meeting for the well drilling is tomorrow, so that project's actually going to be going under construction here soon. And then lastly, the raw water infrastructure, the design consultant, their electrical cost projection seems to be where a lot of the increase occurred, but along with the pipeline as well, versus what they had projected now several months ago. So that's the biggest jump there, the biggest reasons for the increase there in that particular number. So once again, this is a snapshot of just the projects so far that we're seeing maybe more than about a 10% change, increase or decrease in the number. We have received updates for all of these projects, obviously, as they've gone through the design process. So, like I said, next month we'll come back with more information on terms of overall program costs. The next slide you see here, this is that same information we just reviewed, but just presented a little bit differently, just to give you a little bit of an idea of the order of magnitude of some of these projects versus the others. So as I said, we'll be back next month with an overall program update, give you a little more detail about how the program cost reduction measures that were outlined back late last year and approved by the board and where we stand on those currently. And then, of course, lastly, also be updating as peaking factors have changed and other conditions have changed, you know, the percentage share that Alliance and GBRA would be responsible to pay for construction of some of this infrastructure has changed. So we're also going to give you an update on what that looks like as well. So as I said, a more comprehensive view of what the overall numbers look like, not just the construction projections. And then lastly, with regards to the continued projection of expenditures versus what was originally budgeted. As we've talked about before, you know, it shows a lag in terms of actual versus budget, and that's primarily due to this projection being based on the baseline schedule for the program, which obviously we've seen some lags in the baseline, the current schedule versus the baseline. So not much to report right now. I will say that since a lot of these projects have gotten into final design, we're not seeing a continued increasing deficit between budgeted and actual. It seems to be stabilizing at this point. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Ryan, I guess I would ask a question in relation to, and I know you'll provide information later on the GBRA and Alliance split and how it affects, things after the change in peaking factor. But if we could go back to the slide here that showed the differential costs, remind me of which ones of these will be split costs versus costs that are borne by us.
Sure. The water treatment plant. So the first line item there, the third line item, pipeline segment A. Sorry, I'm giving you the ones that are combined program, meaning they'll be split between Alliance and GBRA.
Right.
So
right. That's what I was asking.
Water treatment. Okay, gotcha. Water treatment plant, pipeline segment A are the two on this table that would be split between the two. The other ones are Alliance only infrastructure.
Thank you.
Sure.
This is Jane. On this slide, which is kind of small for us to read even in the document, I'll just say I really don't need that percent increase or decrease. And in a way, it's a little misleading because the numbers are so different. I'm concerned about what that might misinformation or misinterpretation that could be there because of those percents. And it's not helping me any. What I'm looking for is what's the dollar difference. And what would be helpful is if all three columns were totaled.
Understood.
Say Ryan and I discussed that, and we have not provided a total on these because this is only a snapshot of the overall budget. When we come back in July and go through each of the projects that comprise the whole overall program, we'll have a total for each of those columns. But we didn't want somebody to see a number in this slide that showed the base budget and a total that is really just a subtotal of the overall budget. And so we're leery of putting in a total number.
All right, so this is a subset, and that's fine. But given Mr. Taggart's question, if we could maybe have an asterisk, because you notice that one of them has an ARWA only, the second one. So if we could have an asterisk for which ones are shared or asterisk the ones that aren't shared. I can see that that's a question that will be in people's minds. Thank you.
Sure. Certainly, we could certainly do that. And again, we'll have the splits between GBRA and Alliance Water for each of the projects in the next update. But we'll make sure that it's clear those that are Alliance Water only.
Fabulous.
If I might just ask a question in relation to that or comment. I mean, my understanding of the change that we'll see due to our reducing the peaking factor is basically that the GBRA share will go up versus ours compared to the original split?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. For that applicable infrastructure, that's the expectation, obviously, given the representative share for Alliance being reduced.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other items on H2? All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to H3, update, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's request to the Texas Water Development Board for additional SWIFT funding.
Okay, I think I'm back where we need to be. Just want to give everybody an update. As you know, we've been going through the process of asking for some additional SWIFT funds and then potentially closing on those funds this calendar year. I reported to you previously that unlike past years, the Water Development Board had not set the subsidies for the low interest loans in the March timeframe like they typically do. They did take action in June on that. I'm happy to report that for the 2020 issuances, so those that would occur this year, the subsidies have remained the same as they've been in the past. So for a 20-year note, that's a 35% subsidy. And then for a 30-year note, it's a 20% subsidy. The board did pass a resolution that moving forward, they're going to reduce those subsidies. For 2021 and beyond, the 20-year would be reduced to a 25% subsidy, and a 30-year would be to a 14% subsidy. Essentially, they're lending out more money than they initially thought they might, and so they want to protect a little bit more of that corpus money so that they can last longer. And they feel like by reducing those subsidies, they can protect a little bit more of that money moving forward. So they haven't had any problems or challenges in the paybacks and all that is working well. It's just been a matter of they've gained a little bit more interest from the program than they thought they might. And so they kind of want to slow down how much of the corpus money they're spending out of that. So moving forward, we were able to get updates on our SWIFT rates. And I put together a table here at the bottom to show you historically what the different rates have looked like from initially in 2015 when we issued through the 2017 and 2019 issuances. And so you can see that each year those rates have gone down for the 30-year note from a 2.88 down to a 2.37 last year. And then in 2015, the 20-year note was a 1.97. And in 2019, it's a 1.54. Earlier this year, we'd assumed those rates were going to be up a little bit higher at 2.9% and 2.06% respectively. With the latest numbers that we got from the Water Development Board, in speaking with our financial advisors and the technical committee agreed with this approach, we've added 50 basis point cushion for our initial projections. And so right now, we're projecting that those we would close on rates of 2.65% and 1.78% in this year, which is slightly above 2019, but below the 2017 rates. Of course, that's just our projection. It'll actually be determined by the market rates whenever the Water Development Board goes to close on those in New York, usually the last week in September or first week in October. If we were to use the base rates without the cushion, the 50 basis point cushion, we'd actually be lower than any of the previous years we've used. So we felt it was prudent as part of our budgeting and planning efforts to provide a little cushion, because the market is very dynamic right now, and I don't think any of us feels comfortable making strong assumptions as to what that will look like when the board goes to close. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best that we get the lowest interest rates we've ever had. But we'll plan around, and our budget right now, what I put in is based on this 2020 current projection number, which provides us a little bit of a cushion. So the Water Development Board's been reviewing all of our applications and has asked a few questions in response to that, which we've been able to provide them that information quickly. So I expect they will approve our financing agreement. I believe they do that in July, typically at their July meeting. And then we will need to finalize our schedules and the amount that we want to issue and whether 20-year or 30-year notes here before the September timeframe to prepare for the closing in October. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions regarding this item. We're not seeking any action today, just an update.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Moving on to item H4, discussion of the draft Alliance Water budget for the fiscal year 2020 through 2021 and possible direction to staff.
I think we're honing in on a final budget. Just so you understand, the overall goal is to have this budget approved at your July meeting. So I expect to bring back a final draft version to the technical committee in 2 weeks and hopefully get their recommendation to you, and then have it up for your consideration in 4 weeks. A couple of the changes that have been made since you last saw this budget as the board: the administrative committee was able to meet on May 29th. And they recommended moving forward with the employee expenses portion of the budget. We held our salaries for 2020 and 2021 with merit bonuses available for employees that deserve them, excluding the executive director. There would be no change in either my salary or a bonus this next year. And all other expenditures are basically as previously shown within that that line item. So that's something that the administrative committee recommended we move forward, and that's been incorporated into the budget that's in your packet. And then the only other significant change was, as we discussed under the last item, I've updated the debt service projections for the 2020 issuance as a result of the new rates that we received from the Texas Water Development Board. So, these changes have not affected the amounts that we would expect to receive from the sponsors. So I know each of you all are moving forward with your budgets independently. And so what I've already provided to the finance directors at your respective entities in terms of what we expect to receive in the next year from you has not changed as a result of these minor changes in our budget. So again, there's a little bit more detail, obviously, in the packet related to the projected budget. I'm happy to answer any questions, but certainly hope to bring it back to you for final approval at your July meeting.
All right. Thank you very much, Graham. Moving on to item H5, consider adoption of resolution 2020-0624-002, approving an engagement letter with Armstrong, Vaughn, and Associates, PC, for preparing the authority's fiscal year 2019 through 2020 financial audit.
So every year about this time, we get a letter from our auditing firm that wishes to get an agreement in place for the next fiscal year. This would be the third year that we would utilize Armstrong, Vaughn, and Associates. So we're still well below the standard for which we would use the same firm without switching out either principals or going to a new firm. Armstrong, Vaughn has done a good job for us the last 2 years. They've been very responsive. They respond, they complete the audit quickly. the few times when I have questions or seek their input on how to handle a few items, they respond very quickly. Phil Vaughn does a very good job with that. So I gave them a score that's in your packet as we review our various consultants, and I'm the one that deals with them the most. I've gave them a very good score with their overall services. They are estimating the fees for the audit for the current year, for next year, to be $10,930, which is slightly below what we have built into the budget that I discussed in the last item. Otherwise, really, no terms and conditions of their agreement have changed from the previous years. So I would recommend approval of the agreement for the next year, but of course I'm happy to answer any questions should you have any.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. I move to approve the resolution as presented and engage Armstrong, Vaughn, and Associates as our auditor.
Jane Houston will second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? All right, with no no's and no abstentions, the ayes have it unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item H6, consider adoption of resolution 2020062400003, approving an agreement with the Concept Development and Planning LLC, CDNP, for public relations services.
Great. Well, I'm happy to report to you that we've got a selection for our new public relations firm. That's Concept Development and Planning, or CDMP. I know Aaron Gray, who is the president of the company, and a couple of our other staff members are on our call, so appreciate them joining us today. We, as you recall, we sent out an RFQ, and we received four responses to that RFQ. You appointed a five-member board to the committee to review those responses and provide a recommendation. And the group came back and recommended CDMP. We put together the attached contract with CDMP. They put together a draft, and working with Mike Rashawn, we had a few comments back, which they agreed to readily. Typically for these types of services, just like with the auditor, we do them on an annual basis, and they correspond with our fiscal year. So it'd be October 1 to September 30th. Since we're getting started a little late in the year on this process, we've set this one up to be a 15-month project, so it would take them through September 30th of 2021. Of course, we still have the ability to terminate given 30 days notice, as do they if we're unsatisfied for any reason. But I think it makes more sense as they're just getting started to make this first contract a 15-month contract, and then I would expect we'd have 12-month contracts from now on out. It is a time and material basis, so they bill based on hours spent, and compensation is not to exceed $50,000. We may need to bump that up just a little bit because it'd run over 15 months. That's what we'd expect on a 12-month spend, but we can review that as we get into the process. I'll say CDMP, they put together what I felt like was a strong response to our RFQ. They are interested in learning more about us, what our goals are and what we want to do, and then tailoring their message to meet, whether it's our ratepayers, whether it's the leaseholders or some of the landowners in between that we're dealing with, trying to tailor that message to those folks. So I think after speaking with Aaron and her group, they're excited to learn more about us and to jump in and start helping us through some of these efforts. Again, I put in the packet, obviously, the agreement and then the scoring that was done by the committee that reviewed them, so you can see that information as well. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about the process or about the agreement. And we can also, if there's any specific questions about CDMP, we can certainly set up and have them answer some of those questions.
Graham, I would also like to add, this is Tracy, by the way, that as being a member of the committee, and that I had to abstain from voting on one of the proposals because I had worked with that entity in the past and felt it was inappropriate for me to vote on that one.
Great. Thank you for that clarification.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. Move to adopt the resolution approving an agreement with Concept Development and Planning as presented.
Houston will second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? All right, with no no's and no abstentions, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item H7, consider delegation to the Administrative Committee the review of consultant performance for contracts that are reviewed annually.
I mentioned during the budget discussion that the Administrative Committee met on May 29th. The other item they requested that I bring back to the board was to delegate the authority to them to review all of our consultants. As you hopefully know, that as part of our policy right now, that for any consultant that we enter into a contract with annually, so that'd be after this year, that would be our public relations, it would be our attorneys, Lloyd Goslink, hydrogeologists, special legal counsel, those types of services that we have annual contracts with. We set up a system whereby staff and board reviews those and provides scores on those to determine if we want to continue forward with working with those consultants or not. And so the administrative committee, and they can certainly jump in and describe this differently if they'd like, but I think they felt like in some cases that can be a little bit of a burden to the board who may not have that much interaction with some of these consultants. And so they were recommending that that be delegated to the administrative committee to work with me in reviewing and scoring the various consultants and then making recommendations to the board as to whether to continue with those consultants or if we want to go out to RFQs for hiring of new consultants for those same services. So as a way to relieve some of the duties from the board, feel like they need to weigh in on that, not to circumvent the ability of the board to, if they have a particular case, I think they want to make for or against a consultant. So in order to do that, anything that we want to have the administrative committee do that wasn't in the initial resolution creating the administrative committee has to be delegated to them by the board. And so that's why this item is on the agenda today for your consideration, is to formally take that action to delegate those duties to the administrative committee. Again, I want to reiterate that it does not give the committee the authority to enter into contracts with these consultants, simply to do the reviews, and this information would then come back to the board for any ultimate action in moving forward with contracts. So Mr. Taylor or Mayor Houston, I believe you two were able to attend the administrative committee. If you'd like to add any additional feedback on that, I would appreciate it.
This is Mike Taylor. I agree that this is something that we didn't want to take away from anybody, but Graham, you've been doing a great job of reviewing them, but you're fixing to get really busy when this construction stuff starts hitting and you've now got employees to deal with. And it's just an evolution of the organization growing. So that was my thought on it.
This is Houston and what Mike said.
I would have one question in relation to this. I know that historically we've used a survey process that polled the board in relation to their assessments of performance of the contractors involved. And I recognize that's historically been reviewed by Graham in his role. I think the administrative committee would do a great job of that. Would we still intend to have that kind of survey, though, and direct board input on that performance?
That's up to y'all.
I'd be fine with it. The more input, the better, but just to kind of pull everything together would be the committee. But, yeah, if folks know things I don't know, I always like that input.
I'd like to continue the survey process of the board, at least so we can opine about any thoughts we have. That's probably more important with some of those functions than others, like legal and the lobbyists. You know, but I think that is valuable. I'd certainly be happy with the committee being, you know, the group that reviewed those and compiled them, though, and you know, actually does do the work associated with that.
I think that was our intent.
And as the member who was not able to attend, I just say ditto.
Great. Thank y'all for that additional input.
Hey, Graham, are you going to have to bring this back if they want to do this delegation and change the policy where you've been directed to do this?
Yeah, we will need to look at the policy to make sure that we incorporate that aspect into it. I think we can do it as two parts, though. If we want to go ahead and have a motion to delegate this to the admin committee, recognizing that we may want to look at that policy a little bit and make sure we fine-tune it to make the role work right. So we would come back with that action at a later board meeting.
So moved.
Second, Mike Taylor.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? Hearing no no's and no abstentions, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item section I, board member items or future agenda items. Does anybody have anything? All right. Moving on to section J, executive session. I know we had the discussion of whether or not we had the choice of going into an executive session or not. Is there a feeling, do y'all want to continue on executive session or just do this in the open meeting?
I'm fine with just doing it.
I think I am as well. Is there any reason to not continue this in the open?
Go ahead. Yeah, just a comment here, Mike Gershon. I think we can all see who is participating in this meeting, and I'm not able to tell precisely who all is represented by the telephone numbers listed. Graham, perhaps you know. I mean, point being that as long as the board is comfortable speaking to this issue to the extent of the sensitivity on the recommended dollar amount, given who's on this call and in the meeting, you bet. I'd say let's proceed. If we want to have a more in-depth conversation that wouldn't compromise our position. If there were folks involved in this meeting, then it would make sense to go into executive session. I suspect we're not concerned about who all is in the meeting. I don't think the landowners called in, but I can't tell.
Well, if I might, I'd like to ask a question about that, Mr. Gershon. You know, this is obviously related to real estate matters, and that's why it can be in executive session. Is that correct?
Correct. And it could be in under the exception to have a client attorney privilege discussion to the extent it involves our condemnation effort. So under both exceptions.
And I guess in terms of how that would normally proceed if it were an executive session, are the dollar amounts associated with the real estate, if a purchase is approved, are those disclosed at the time We come out of executive session and make a motion publicly then to follow that direction?
Well, the dollar figures that would be approved of would be in the motion, yes. But what would not be disclosed in open session and would not, and frankly, bearing in mind that I believe, Graham, we're recording this, right? And so what's being said right now, will that be part of our public information? I mean, is this meeting being recorded?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, at any future date, whether it's the Wiley family or some other family that might have an interest in what we may have discussed in public session, they just need to file a Public Information Act request and hear, even if they're not on the call. So, you know, there's...
And that goes to the question that I'm basically asking. And I guess from my perspective, you know, given that we may have a great deal of individual negotiations or requests from landowners in negotiating, you know, sale of the easements to us, I mean, I think I'd prefer to do that in executive session so we can, you know, not affect our market status in relation to those individual actions.
I absolutely agree to the extent we're going to get into a discussion and to the extent that the email that I sent to the board members yesterday, which is client attorney privilege, that is not public information subject to disclosure. Every one of the board members probably has that at their fingertips, perhaps has read it already.
Yep.
I believe that Graham can discreetly in open session tell you whether he has a strong recommendation about a particular dollar figure based on what all of the board members are looking at privately right now, you know, on your hard copy or on your laptops, on your computers. There may be a motion, a second, and a decision to press forward without getting into all of the details that's reflected in writing. But if there's going to be a discussion about it, Tom, I fully agree with you that, you know, we wouldn't want other landowners to have, you know, access to you know, a recorded discussion and debate about that, which would mean we'd want to go into executive session if there's an interest in walking through the numbers, Graham's rationale, perhaps for a recommendation, and you know, that would be more appropriate in executive session.
This is Houston. Okay. I make a motion we go into executive session for this item.
Very good.
I'll second that.
So, right. Graham, I believe you've circulated an email with a separate call-in. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, if everybody would use that call-in number.
And one thing that I've observed in some other meetings that I've heard about through the news is that we all have to be careful that, you know, when we call in, we don't have our lines open for the open session that we're in right now. And, you know, we can certainly fix that by ensuring we're all in mute on the present meeting or log out and then log back in.
This is Houston. What we do in San Marcos is we leave the public session. We close it out as if we were done. We go into the link for executive session. Then we come back and open up the link for the public session same as we did a few minutes before 3:00.
And that's been my recommendation to my clients, that it sure does make it easier so there isn't a mess up.
Right.
And Graham, just for my information, did you send just a telephone number and login for that or an actual team meeting link?
No.
It was just a phone number.
It's a number, and why don't we just read it out? I'm looking at it, Graham. If I have it right, it's 1-8.
You're doing it in open session.
Oh, thank you. Although, do you have – well, fair enough. If anybody needs that number, we can certainly
I've got the email. Number. I just wanted to be clear on what we had available as options here.
Okay. So it sounds like we've got a direction, but since it has been moved and seconded, We want to go ahead and vote on that and get going on it. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion on going into executive session?
Quick question, Mike Gershon here. Graham, do you have a recommendation on this?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I recommend that we approve it.
Okay, I'm just curious. I thought it would be helpful for the board to be aware of that. Good. Not suggesting we not go into executive session. I wanted to be sure.
All right. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the vote of going into executive session? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? Hearing no no's and no abstentions, it's unanimous. The ayes have it. Motion passes that we should go into executive session. Are there any requests for non-board members to be a part of this? All right. Then I will begin reading the text on J1, and then we'll hang up and dial into the other phone number. We'll see you on the other line in just a moment. Item J1, executive session pursuant to government code section 551071, consultation with attorney and or section 551072, real property deliberations regarding water supply partnership options, groundwater leases, acquisition of real property for water supply project purposes. All right. And we'll be back in a little bit. Ready for me to read over J2?
I think we just need to return from executive session first.
Yeah, and note the time and that no action was taken.
All right. It is 4:28 p.m. No action was taken during executive session, and we have returned to open session. And now on to item J2D. Action from the executive session on the following matters. Consideration of resolution 2020062400 approving a purchase agreement with Tammy Wiley for purchase of parcel D012C.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jane Houston. I move approval of resolution 2020-0624-004.
Second, Mike Taylor.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? All right. With no no's and no abstentions, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And moving on to item K, adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All
right. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. Stay safe and have a good week.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Mr. Ramos
is now exiting. Multiple people are now exiting.